but that's inherently, that's going to be permissible. And forbidden borer is when you're removing the psoas from the ochel. So the Prima Gada says, what happens if everything is ochel? You have two types of foods here, and you want to basically separate one from the other, but you're not using them now. It's not like you're going to use it now. You just want to separate them and put them away, or you know, the like. So the Prima Gada wants to say that that's not borer, because his lashon is, where's the ochel, where's the psoas? This is, if you want to see what this is, you have the Mishnah, the Bir Lacha, in Sif Aleph, and the pages here, it's 278, right in the middle, Hayu Lefanav. He's Prima Gada Mistapeg, in Bir Min Echa Mechaveru, and you're going to leave them both for later, but Hey Ochel Vehe Psoas. So the Mishnah Berurah says, he doesn't think it's a Shaila. It says, it's a Dover Pashatim, that's still Borer, meaning, if you're not using them now, so borer is just the very fact. He says, "Dizeu etzam amalacha habreira mashav borer min echa mechaveru." The fact that you separate one from the other, vayidei zeu kol min b'fnei atzmo, and you've accomplished that each min is separate by itself and not mixed up with the other one. Zeu etzam amalacha. Ela de'im da'ito lechol tekev v'hu b'yado. If you're planning on eating right away and you do it with your hands, so then that's called Derech Meichel, it's mutter. But when you're not, so he says, Kavachomer Dover. Madoch, let's say I am planning on eating one type, right? And, I'm not planning it, but I just take one out from the other. That's Borer. So, even if I am eating, right? Even if I am eating one type, but I use my hand to sort out the other type, which I don't want, that's Borer. So when I move both of them, one from the other, that's called Shekein Borer. It doesn't make a difference that I want one more than the other. If I'm not using them both, then it's also Borer. But the point is that they're Ochel inherently. They're good stuff. I'm not getting rid of anything. I'm just sorting it out. I'm accomplishing that now I have, instead of having a mixture of, let's say, peas and carrots, peanuts and raisins, instead of having a mixture, I have two separate units. I have a unit of peas and a unit of carrots, and a unit of raisins and a unit of peanuts, which is an accomplishment. So that's mamish by subora. Now, I want to point out a couple of things. First of all, let's say you do want to eat them, and you want to eat them right now. Let's say you're planning for a meal, and in the meal you're going to eat both peas and carrots, but you want to eat them separately. You want to first serve peas and then serve carrots, one after the other. So Kimat everyone says that then that's mutter to do. You're allowed to separate them. Either way you do it is going to be mutter to them, because then they're both ochel. They're both for this meal. They're both for the meal that I'm about to embark upon. And we said, I think we mentioned it, but we reemphasize that any time you're preparing for a meal that's going to start immediately, as soon as the preparations are done, that's called la alter, that's called immediate. So you're allowed to prepare even for the dessert, right? The Ramah said this clearly, that you're allowed to even prepare for even if I'm being borer, something to serve for dessert, which is not going to be for another 2 hours, but it's for the meal that I'm about to embark upon, that's mutter. So therefore, even though I have an order of preference that I'm going to eat, serve this and then that, it's okay. Nothing is psoles in this case. They're both ochel, but they're both ochel for use miyad. The Mishnah Bir Lacha is talking about when I'm not using either one right now. I want to put them away. I just want to have them separate. Maybe I'll eat them in a few hours, or maybe I won't even eat them all Shabbos, whatever it is. I just, like, let's say you want to clean up. Bar, remember, is not just by food. So let's say your child or grandchild had a nice time playing with the various types of blocks and stuff and left them now on the floor. And it's left for you or for some adult to clean up. And there's different things. There's this type of blocks that's one type of game, and then there's pieces of another game that they're all good, so to speak. They're all like ochel type of things, but I'm not using any of it now. I simply want to clean up. So if they're all mixed together, you can't do that. You can't just you can't just pick out, okay, this black goes here, and this piece goes here, and this piece goes here. That's what, you know, Mishnah Berurah is saying. That's ochel mitoch ochel, but it's certainly the fact that you're misaking each type, that's usher to do. Now, so again, but if you're gonna use the, going back to the food case where it's you're preparing for a suit, then you're gonna use them both, it's mutter. And another nakuda that we wouldn't see from here, but comes out from elsewhere, if the taco both psoles, let's say everything is really psoles, meaning garbage that I'm getting rid of, I'm discarding it, then there's no iser to separate it. For example, let me tell you first what the raya, and then we'll maybe give you, you know, a much more practical example. The raya is a case. There's a case in Shulchan Aruch, which actually the Bir Halacha goes on to quote here, that case. But it's a sif later in Shulchan Aruch.
You're cleaning up the psalms for when?
It's just this can't be talking about now. I'm separating themselves to throw it out. I want to throw it out.
Because you're gonna have to, you need the space for something to take.
Whatever. I want to straighten up, or I just want to straighten up. I want to straighten up the house. I want it to be neat. And I'll skip to the practical example. And we'll come back from it to the practical case is you have a lot of stuff that you let's say you have leftovers of soup. You have a portion of soup somebody ate from, and you're not saving it. And in the bowl you have liquid, and you have vegetables, and it's all going to the garbage. You know, it's just, again, somebody ate from it. It's not right to save, and you really just want to throw it all out. But you don't want to throw all of it in any one place. You don't want to throw all of it in the garbage because you don't want to put a half a bowl of soup into your garbage can, and then your bag gets a little bit of a leak. And before you know it, you have liquid. You have, you know, obviously many people don't want to do that. Most people don't want to do it. They want to put the liquid down the drain. But they don't just want to turn over the whole bowl into the sink, because, or at least not if the sink is open, if there's an open drain there, because they don't want the solids to go down the drain. They don't want to clog the drain or whatever. They don't want the leftover pieces of chicken to go in the drain. So they want the chicken to end up in the garbage pail and the liquid to end up down the drain. So they made this convenient little contraption called a strainer, you know, whatever you want to call it, a drain cap or something that has holes in it. It's meant exactly for this, right? Most sinks have such a thing, and if you don't, you go to the store and get one for $1.50, you put it fits right in the middle of your sink. And when you pour a bowl of soup, the liquid will go through the holes, and the solids will get caught, and then you could pick them up and throw them in the garbage. So the post can say it's mutter to do that on Shabbos, even though that device, that little simple $1.50 device, is really a kli, which is, you might have said, is miuchad lebreira. It very much resembles your spaghetti strainer, just that you use to pour the pasta through when after it's cooked. Which, if you did that on Shabbos, even if you cooked it before Shabbos, but you didn't drain it out and you want to put it through that, that'll be nisa deraisi, mamish b'chayiv chatas, if you did that, because you're using it to clean miuchad lebreira, and you know, whether you separate the good for the bad for the good is irrelevant. It's nisa deraisa. But when you do it in your sink, the exact same thing is happening. It's mutter. But why is that mutter? Because it's all psolus. It's all getting thrown out. I'm only separating it because, like I said, for convenience sake, I don't want the pieces to go down the sink. And then, so I'm doing it in this way that it separates it, so I can throw it out in a more convenient and appropriate way. So that's mutter to do. Or another example, many people are careful when they have leftover pieces of bread. Bread that they're not saving. Again, somebody ate, it was a slice of challah, and somebody ate three quarters of it and left over part of it. And nobody else is going to eat that piece of challah. It's going to be discarded. But it's not just a tiny crumb, and they don't want to just throw it into the garbage. There's an inyan of showing kavod for pas and not putting it into garbage together with all sorts of other garbage, and they where it becomes even more mos and everything. It's an inyan to throw it away separately. Some people don't even throw it away. They at least till it, they leave it out until it gets moldy and hard, until it's mamish totally inedible, and then they throw it out. But even if let's say you're not doing that, but you're gonna throw it out, but you want to gather it up separately and put it and wrap it into it, put it in a plastic bag or wrap it in a napkin or something and throw it out that way, so it doesn't become mos, which is an appropriate thing to do. So you have your Shabbos table where you finished eating, and you have a lot of these pieces of bread, and you have a lot of other stuff lying around on the table, which when you look at that table, you would call that a mixture. You would say the bread and the other stuff is all mixed together, but all of it's garbage. I mean, the other stuff on the table is also it's you know, whatever. Just use your imagination on all sorts of garbage that could be left over at the end of a table, end of a suda. And the only reason why you want to select out the pieces of bread is not, you know, not because not for any reason, but to throw them away. But you just want to throw them away separately. So that's okay to do as well. That's called psolus and psolus. You're just separating. It's all psolus, and that's allowed to do. The case of the rye, which brings this halach about a person using an egg, a raw egg, and putting it into a keli which separates the white from the yolk, and this is a keli in which you have some sort of mustard. And you want the yellow of the egg is going to help color the mustard. Here he brings it right here in this Bir Halacha that he says the Issur Sham the Shari Lasanin Hachelmo min Hachelbon. You're allowed to separate the yolk of the egg from the white. Al yidei misanenes in a what's a misanenes? He says it's a udoma l'napakor. It's a strainer, which is just like these types of strainers, which should be chayiv if you did borrow with. After mikri beis minim, even though the white and the yolk of an egg is not considered one thing, it's considered two separate things, and you are separating one from the other. The hatam mishum de'ein misanen hachelmon kinei lechol. The reason why you're separating the yolk, excuse me, is not to eat it. Rather, just to improve, to enhance the color of the mustard. You want that to mix with the mustard. And the other part is just going to get separated and discarded. And he says, you're allowed to do that. So the Prima Gadim took from there that maybe you're allowed to separate two types of Michael. But the Mishnah Berurah said, no, it's not a rye over there. Keep skipping a line. He says, the Hasam Tarvayu Einam Odom L'Chilul La'olam. They're both not meant to be eaten ever. The hachelbon is sarv b'psolus hachardo. The white of the egg gets mixed up with the other parts of the mustard, which are going to be discarded, and the chelbon goes into the mustard to color it. Now, I must admit, I never really understood, and I found a number of the Sfarim ask why that's not called that you're using, quote unquote, using the yellow, right? We know that we just said, bora is not just food. And if you separate items, clothing or svarim or kalem, to use them, it's also bora. So maybe this is a food, an egg, but if I'm using the yellow part of the egg to enhance the color of something, I'm using it for paint. Why isn't that called a use? And so I never sort of talk about it. They say maybe because it just, really the point is because it just gets mixed in a way that it's no longer discernible or. I'm not sure exactly why that's not called a use, but whatever it is, that this is the yisod of psolus from psolus. You're separating psolus. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. They're both not omid lachila. Neither one is meant to be. It's not that one you're using, one you're not. You're not using either. They're both ending up basically getting destroyed. One's getting destroyed literally, and that's mixing with the rest of the garbage, which you can throw away. And the other one's getting destroyed because it's just mixing into the mustard and not for flavor, not for taste or anything. So that's called getting destroyed. Al kapana, this is the yisod of psolus from psolus. Okay, so you're allowed to separate. So you're not allowed to separate ochel from ochel if you're not eating them now, but you're allowed to separate psolus from psolus. That's what comes out. And if you are eating both things now, it's as part of a meal. Then, as we said, then you're allowed to separate one from the other, even if you're specifically planning on eating one first and the other one later. It doesn't make a difference. That's all called ochel for the altar. Okay, so it can have you know, a lot of ramifications. Now, okay, so really, I mean, l'chara, according to the suffix of the Prima Gadim, again, the Prima Gadim had a suffix that maybe you're allowed to separate ochel from ochel, even if you don't want any of them now. Yet, that was bringing up Shiloh, because there's no psalus here. The Mishnah Berurah said he doesn't, you know, definitely usher. But the feed the Prima Gadim Shiloh, that would make a lot of things, you know, solve a lot of the problems. Like, for example, if a person wants to set his table, wants to set a Shabbos table, not for now, Friday night after the meal, he wants to set the table so it's ready for the morning, or whatever it is, wants to set it, you know, a couple of hours before you're ready for the Suda. So, and the silverware is all mixed together in a big jumble. So, according to most poskim, that's an issue of borer, because the silverware, the forks with the knives and the spoons, even though you could tell them apart, right? I mean, you look at a jumble of silverware, you could clearly see what's what. And for that reason, some say there is no borer in silverware, because they're not mixed. But lemaisa, the main consensus seems to be that we do treat it as an issue of borer. I'll just mention the truma. There's a truma sadeshin we might have mentioned before that says even if you have large pieces, or nikar b'fnei atzmam, even though he's noted to say that shouldn't be borer because they're not mixed. They're so. But he says I'm afraid to be mekel. And so, but the silverware, when it's all thrown together in a, you know, you have it all in a bucket or something. I'm not talking about it's neatly arranged by type. That's fine. That's not borer. Then it won't be borer to pick out what you want. But where it's all mixed together. So when you want to set the table, so if you're not setting it for immediate use, many poskim have, you know, say, well, you can't do that unless we come up with some eitzah. And there are various eitzahs given, but according to Prima Gadim, it wouldn't really be a problem because it's all good. None of it's bad. None of it's psolas. And you want it all, just I want it for later. So it's ochel from ochel, and there'd be no bara. So the chara, according to Prima Gadim, would be okay. And there are some poskim that want to rely on this Prima Gadim together with a few other cheshbonos and to attack and say it is okay. But again, they said the consensus is not. But what you could do, I know I mentioned some of these things Shabbos morning, I'm not sure if I mentioned it here. Right, but there are two things you could do. One thing Rav Moshe Feinstein says is you could spread it out. I think I might have mentioned it. You could throw it along a table so that it scatters. And once it scatters enough that it's no longer looks like a mixture. Like, let's just say they're not touching anymore. The pieces aren't touching. So then it's not mixed. And that's not called borer, even though you accomplished that it's not mixed. But I didn't borrow it. I just, you know, came up with a kunz, with a trick, how to undo the teruvis without being borrowed. So that's one way. And then the other way, which I did mention this Be'er Shabbos, which is a very big machlokas, but it's such a yesodis dikka thing of borer, and that is there's a shaila. Is borer only when I specifically select one item over another? Meaning, I want to set the table. I need a fork to put next to this plate. I need a fork. So I look and fork. I put it down. Borer, because it's not for immediate use, and it was the forks were mixed with the knives and the spoons. Borer. But what happens? Okay, let's say I don't do it that way. I just reach in and take whatever I get, whatever comes up. I don't pay attention to what I'm taking. Whatever is either I'm not even looking exactly what I'm taking, or I'm looking, but I'm just reaching what's the most convenient thing to pick up. The first thing that my hand hits, I take it. And then I see, whatever it is. If it's a fork, I'll put it there. If it's a knife, I'll put it there. If it's a spoon, a soup spoon, and I'm not serving anything, I don't need soup spoons, I'll put it in a drawer. So, is that okay? I mean, is that also borer? Because what's the difference whether you aimed and whether you, you know, you took something specific? At the end of the day, you did the same thing. You picked up an item, and you now it's separated from the other item. You've accomplished that. Everything you have in front of you has been sorted out. So you did it without aiming. So that's what's called taking mikala baliyado. So there's a very big machlokas about this. And I found out yesterday even another aspect of it, or another very big name to add to one side, which I'll tell you in a minute, which I didn't know about it on Shabbos. So there's a tshuva from in the Sefer Shalosh Shuvos Machzei Eliyahu. I think it's Simon and Tess, I think. Machzei Eliyahu was Rav Pesach Leo Falk from Manchester, England. Was a, you know, very big, very, very chashuv, a Tal Chacham, a Rav, and a Pesach. And he was a big Marbetz Torah. He wrote a lot of Svarim and Shuvos, and very, you know, very into Torah. And and learning and halacha lemaisa. And he has a tshuva on this, and he says, I heard a number of talmidei chachamim that are matter this, and I think it's absolutely incorrect, and therefore I'm going to, you know, like to put down on paper my thoughts and my rayas to it. So he, what he does is there are some early makoros, or at least earlier than this door, going back a couple hundred years, that indicate one way or the other, which I don't know if we'll go into right now what they are. Maybe I'll mention soon. But and so he discusses them, and he feels that there's no firm makor to be makel. There's firm makor to be machmer, and no firm makor to be makel. And then he says, but I know I'm challenging chashuv talmidei chachamim. He doesn't say anyone by name, but he says, I know there are talmidei chachamim chashuvim that say that it is mutter. So I figured I'm not going to be able to. I can't just take him on my own. So when I was there at Yisrael, I turned to two of the great gedolim, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Reb Eliashiv, and they both said unequivocally usser. That's what he writes. They both said there's no such head. There's no head to do this whatsoever. That basically what he's saying is correct. That's completely usser. But on the other hand, it is quoted in a number of sources that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal, who was from definitely the Gedolei America from recent Doros, and he's quoted as saying that this is mutter, this is not called borer. I didn't see anything written from him on the topic, but it did seem quoted in a couple of places. Yes, and right. So his son, Shmuel Kamenetsky, he has his sefer, at least there's a sefer of his psukim, which quotes him a lot. Not the whole sefer is his psukim, but it also actually quotes him a lot at the bottom. You know, the one with the sefer of a Kleiman sits and learns with him, and you know, goes through all the shilas, and so he, Rav Shmuel himself says it, he feels it's taka mutter, and then he quotes that his father says that he, you know, his father also was mad. But besides that, we had a telephone share yesterday from Rav Shmuel first, and he said he heard this directly from Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's mutter. This I didn't know on Shabbos. He said, we asked him, he said, yeah, it's mechalik. He said, Rav Moshe Feinstein said, it's mutter to do that, that is not bara. So now I had a hunch. Truth is, I don't know if I mentioned this on Shabbos, because Rav Moshe has a tshuva about svarim, about picking out svarim, and he says if you have, if you have, I might have mentioned this basic idea before, that if you have svarim, you know, neatly arranged on a shelf, and they're labeled, and you can see what every sefer is, so that's not called a mixture. That is not a teruvus. Remember, borer, in order to have a shiloh, it has to be a mixture. It has to be a teruvus. That's not a teruvus because they're arranged the way they're supposed to be, and they're labeled, and you can identify them. So that's not called mix. And therefore, he says you want to take off a sefer, even you're not going to use it. It's Friday night. You want to take it off the shelf now to use it Shabbos morning. You'd be allowed to do that. It's not. They're not mixed. Or you're coming into shul Shabbos morning and you're going to daven. And after davening, you got to learn. You want to take a Gemara or a different sefer off the shelf, so that you can have for after davening. You're not using it during davening at all. You're using after davening, which is not called immediate. But according to this, as long as they're arranged on the shelf and labeled, you're allowed to take it. But let's say they're not labeled. Let's say they're either not arranged or whatever, or at all, or they're on the shelf but they're not labeled. So the binder just came. And he bound them all with black tape on the thing, and he didn't get to write yet, Mr. Brewer Gimel. He's coming back next week. Meanwhile, this Shabbos, you have a whole shelf of one after the other, black, 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 black. And impossible to know what they are without, you know, taking it off the shelf. So, Moshe, that's the Taruvus. That's the Taruvus now. Now you have an issue of Borah, and you can't just simply take one off the shelf. Even if you figure out which one you want, you can't just take it off the shelf for later, because... because it would be borer. And even if you want it for right now, but you can't just, well, pashtish, you can't just take off the ones that are not what you want.
It's not like you're separating the psalas, are you?
Well, it depends how you do. So what he says you could do is take it off the shelf, derech his askus. I mean, you take it off and look at it a little. He doesn't say learn from it a little, so like I'm using it now. That's one eitz that some people give, right? You come into shul and the sefer svarim are all on a table. The sefer you want, you're looking around for a specific sefer. Oh, you find it on a table, but it's in a pile, in a mix, you know, in a mess. So that's shalabar. But I want to take it to my seat for after davening. So the eitz of some people is to take it now and learn to, assuming you're not late to davening. So spend 2 minutes learning, 1 minute, whatever. Learn from it right now. You know, it's a Mishnah Berurah, so learn this, you know, habara ocha b'tach p'sos. You learn from it right now, and then you can, you know, so I'm using it right now, so that's called alta, then I can keep it for later as well. But Ramash doesn't say that. He doesn't say you have to do that. He says what's called derech hisaskus. You take it off the shelf, and you just like open it, and you see if it's what you want or not, and if it's not, then you could just put it back, and nothing wrong. Even there's nothing wrong. Even though it turns out it's psolus, and you knew very well you might get psolus, but you're allowed to do that. So I always had trouble understanding exactly what this is there, because he says there, it's not us to move things from place to place, but I understand what I mean. I'm not moving it. I mean, I'm selecting. I'm trying to select something, and I'm selecting the wrong thing and putting it back. But so I thought maybe he means this. Maybe this like baliyado. If it just maybe. Without even before I heard that he holds Baliyod's mutter, I thought maybe that's what he's saying here. I'm just randomly taking one off. I have no idea if it's the right one or the wrong one, but I'm not selecting. I mean, I'm not aiming and saying, aha, this is what I want, or this is what I want to move away. I'm not doing that. I'm just taking whatever, take the first safer that might be it, and see if it's it or not. I don't know if he means that, but Al-Kapanim first did confirm, or did say yesterday that Ramosh held that was mutter. He said he heard of him directly, that Baliyod's mutter. So now we have, although we have on the Machmirim side, we have, according to Rabbi Falk, we have Rabbi Shlomazad Arbach and Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Falk himself and some others. But on the Mutter side, we have Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Yubel Chaim Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky. And also, I'll add, I think I didn't mention this either on Shabbos, but there's a sefer called Shabbos Shalema, which is it's a Rav, from a Rav in Toronto, Rabbi Gestetner from Toronto. But it's very heavily based on Psukim from Rav Shlomo Miller, Shlita, and who's, you know, one of the Gdolim, Gdoli Poskim now, from Toronto/Lakewood. And so that sefer, it's called Shabbos Shlema, but sort of like a play on the word, you know, if you don't read the Nekudos, you'll read it as Shabbos Shlomo, or whatever. And, you know, basically it was done on purpose. He wanted the name Shin Lamed Mem Hei to be there in the name. Anyway, so he brings the Rishon Miller also holds that it's mutter to do this, that minibadi's mutter. But he writes, he calls it halacha ve'in morin ki. It's the din he holds, but you don't tell this to people. I hope he doesn't hear this year. So don't tell this to people because you'll very easily come to make, if people start doing that, they'll very easily come to do the wrong thing. Okay, but he also holds minibadi is mutter. So we have many Gedolim saying it's mutter. So. It's not a one-sided shaila at all.
Is that the same thing for this train? I just did it on Shabbos before the shir.
What do you mean?
So we did the dishes before Shabbos. So I have bowls, plates, forks, knives. Right. And I spread it a little bit so it dries. Cause I don't want it to be, it's not piled.
Right.
But it's all mixed together. Mixed. It's close enough. And then I don't look, so now I want to put everything away. So I just grab what's on top. It's a bowl, I put it away.
According to this, you could that would be the mamish is machlokas. Yes, if it's a teruvus, like you're saying, it very likely is.
I think that's your average dish train.
Okay. All right. So then, if you don't hold it this center, then you're talking.
So this is a good example of the machlokas.
Yeah. And what I was going to say is that the cutlery also is the silver is not that those who hold it's mutter to do this. So then it's not such a big deal to set the table. Just pick up whatever you get and put it where, you know, and if you don't want it at all, put it there. And if you want it, put it where you want it. And it's not, you know, it really changes a lot in Bora, to the point where I didn't understand, because Rabbi Shimon Eider asked Rav Moshe about this eitzah of throwing out the silver, you know, we said before, scattering it. He asked Rav Moshe, is that a good eitzah? Is what Rav Moshe said, yes, that's a fine eitzah. Why did Rav Moshe just tell him, but I have a better eitzah? Instead of throwing it over the table and your wife might start, you know, panicking or whatever might happen, and you might not even do such a good job. If you have a lot of silver, you might do that, and it ends up it's still, you know, it's still touching, and it's still, you know, you might try it again. It might take a few tries. Why didn't Ramosh just tell him, why are you wasting, what are you bothering for? Just take it one piece at a time, put it away. I don't know, if Ramosh held that was mutter.
If for immediate use, there's no problem. I'm saying if someone's just setting the table for the meal, it's going to come up, that's fine.
Yeah, if you're setting the table for that, then you could even aim and take which specific, I'm talking about you want to set the name in advance. So why did Ramesh just tell him to do this? I mean, I don't know why. Okay, it's not the... I know it's not really Akasha, because many times you have poskim, you can't be medayik from what they don't say. The fact they did say this, you know, there's a very, very big kid, so a famous story with Ramesh. I mean, is it true? I don't know. I guess, I don't know, if next trip to stand on, you could ask for Reuven Feinstein, because this... What? What's that?
The milk story?
No. There's a difference. Supposedly, when Reuven Feinstein, live and be well, Rav Shiva Staten Island, when, you know, Rav Moshe's youngest child, when he was 20 years old or so, he smoked, which was, you know, very common back then. He was 20 years old, probably close to 70 years ago or something like that. And yeah, smoking was, it was routine. That was no chiddush that he smoked. But the chiddush was he smoked on Yom Tov. Because it's a big shy on the poskim, right? Big discussion poskim, you're allowed to smoke on Yom Tov. You can't strike a match, you'd have to light the candle and light the cigarette from a candle or from something else. But many poskim, they used, I was just reading about the Prima Gadim, is saying, not about him, something he writes, that he's, I think it's a Prima Gadim, that he says, yeah, I smoke on Yom Tov. He says, like they say, that it's very good for the health. You know, it's mamash what it said. It's very healthy for a person to smoke. This is what they was believe. So people smoke. So anyways, he smoked on Yom Tov. But so someone told him, he smoked on Yom Tov. He said, you don't know that your father, Rabbi Shafai, holds that it's usher? It's usher? It's usher smoking Yom Tov? No, I don't know. He never told me. So go ask him, go ask him. So Reuven asked Ramesh, he says, should you hold this? Is possibly you hold, you're not allowed to smoke on Yom Tov? Yeah, so I hold it. Says, but you know what I do? He says, why did you ever say anything to me? So he said, I assumed you held differently. He's 20 years old. So, okay. That's a interesting story, but if you ever go to Staten Island? You ever heard of Staten Island? It's one of the five boroughs of New York. Okay. New York. That's where there's the yeshiva, Staten Island, Reuven Feinstein, the Rosh Yeshiva there. Okay. So, we can ask Rabbi Kaganov when he has children learning there.
And down in the summer, they have a camp upstate.
Ah, okay.
Camp Staten Island, and Reuven has a minion there.
Find out if it's true. Okay. No, you don't have to. Okay, anyway, but so you can't be with the fact that Rav Moshe didn't tell Rabbi Yair, why didn't you do this, but no, I don't know. Okay, one other thing I want to say while we're here with the silverware, and we just saw this again today inside a few hours ago. There's in the Sefer Ma'or HaShabbos, the first chelik, the Sefer Ma'or HaShabbos, a very interesting Sefer Ma'or HaShabbos by Rav Yadler from Yerushalayim. In the back, he has a lot of letters, like short shuvas, that through Shlomo Zalman Arba, from Shlomo Zalman Arbach and Diane Fisher and other Gedolim. And the ones through Shlomo Zalman, very often what it is he says, I heard the following psak in your name. Is this accurate? There's one which, and Shlomo Zalman answers, and he has his exact response, which is, you know, that's pretty good. It's not just him quoting it, it's exact, you know. So he asked them about the following. This one, I don't know if he said he heard his name or not, but he asked them, if a person wants to set the table, again, the meal is not going to be for another few hours, and the silverware is all jumbled together. But he or his wife, whatever, they get a lot of hanah from the table, seeing the table set, the nice Shabbos table, you know, with the plates and the fork and the cutlery and the glasses and the napkins, and it's a nice sight. I know a number of times when we've set up Erev Pesach for the Seder. If we don't have to get it done before Yom Tov starts, my wife would like to take a picture. She would take a picture because, you know, Pesach, you're supposed to try to make it muhudur. And so sometimes we especially have a lot of guests, and then it's as beautiful as it ever gets. So we have some pictures from that. So okay, so no, the heter was not to take a picture on Shabbos. But the question is, could you set it up for that purpose? The meal's not going to be for 2 hours, but you enjoy the beautiful sight. Is that a legitimate reason to set it up now? And Rosh Shlomo Zalman said yes, because the yipui, the beauty, is something you get immediately, and you're allowed. That's a usage. I'm using the silverware to create this matzah, of a beautiful table, and he said it's mutter to do it. It's you know, just a few words, but written from Rosh Shlomo Zalman's mutter. There's another sefer called Sefer Shvus Yitzchak, where he brings from Eliyashiv that he said that it's not mutter to do that. because basically I think he's saying ultimately the ultimate purpose is only for eating. You would not, and basically, and the way he sort of says it, and I will add also, I did hear a shir on Torah anytime for Shraga Kalis, a shir on Borer, where he said he asked Rav Yashiv the Shaila. Knowing Rosh Hashanah Zalman's Pesach, he asked Rav Yashiv about, and he also, same, you know, just like Shrosius Kodesh Rav Yashiv, he also said, no, you can't do it. And he said, at least Rav Kalis said it, so I'm not sure if I should, that if the woman would do it, even if you aren't even eating at home at all, you're invited out. Your mom is not eating home. But you want to set the table because that's Shabbos. That's Geshmak for Shabbos. Just like you, even if you're eating out, you still sweep the floor before Shabbos and you still, you know, cover the tables and you still make the... So if you would set the table like that, even if you're not even using it, okay, so then obviously it's not for later, it's for right now, that you could do. But if you're only doing it, you wouldn't do it if you're not... Yeah, you enjoy seeing it before, but you're not... The ultimate purpose is really just to eat, to use it, then you're not allowed to do it. That's what
I'm saying. For the sutta is... considered for the Suda.
Okay, so the answer to that is the way we, this is a very basic question, how long before the Suda is considered la'altar for many Jews. So the psak that we typically work with is whatever amount of time it takes you based on the preparations that you need to do. Meaning there's no minimum. You don't get an automatic half hour, or I mean, some say you do, and some say even you get an automatic 1 hour. But the way Ramosha and others understand it, there's no, you know, you don't get automatically this amount of time. But there's also no maximum. If you're preparing for a elaborate meal, many guests, and it's going to take a long, you have a lot of preparations. So whatever time you need, as long as you're planning on just preparing and then sitting down to eat. Now preparing means though not just being borer. Whatever you need, being borer or non-borer, and you can even do the borer part at the beginning. Bishar is going to take you 40 minutes, 40 minutes to prepare, including making the salads and setting the table, and whatever it is, you know, putting the egg salad into a bowl and getting everything ready. I don't have to tell you what's involved in preparing a suda. Whatever amount of time it can take you, you mishayir. I mean, you can't, you know, you're not expected to get it down to the last 10 seconds. But you're mishayir, and mishayir without leaving time for doing anything in between, without walking out and then going to shul, and you know, for the wife to pick up her husband, or taking a nap, or in between, or taking a walk, or just sitting down to rest. You know, after I prepare, I just wanna sit down and relax for 10 minutes before the suda. It can't be done that way. That you can't. If you have to do borer, I mean, if you don't have to do borer, fine. But if you're doing borer, you have to do the relaxing beforehand. First relax and then prepare. You can't, or relax during the suda. But you can't plan on any downtime in between the preparations and the beginning of the suda. And then whatever time you're mishayir. That there's more details in this. Well, I will get to after it. But just one more nekuda. I would just mention it briefly here that I might have mentioned this before. I don't remember exactly what I said or what I didn't, but I think anyway some of the things, just by when we put them in more of a context, I saw a psak that says let's say you're having people over at the house at 5 o'clock and you want to serve cake, and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon and I want to cut up the cake, just want to cut it up, no borer, right? That's perfectly mutter, right? Cut up the cake to serve at 5 o'clock, that's fine. But the problem is the knife is in a borer situation. To get the knife to cut out the cake slicer is mixed in with all sorts of things. So I do need to do borer to cut the cake for later. So is that mutter? Is that not mutter? I can't do borer now for later, but I want the knife for right now. What do I want the knife for? To cut the cake. I'm allowed to cut the cake now. 100% mutter to cut the cake. Even though I'm not eating it, serving it till 5 hours. But I don't need the knife to serve the cake, to eat the cake. I need the knife to cut the cake, and I'm allowed to cut the cake. So I would have thought, the way it seems to me, it should be perfectly mutter to borrow the knife and cut the cake. I saw Psak, actually from Shlomo Miller, saying no. He says that since your ultimate tachlis in cutting the cake is only for serving the cake, and that you're doing later, so then it's called borrow for later. That's a huge chiddush to me, in my mind, it's a huge chiddush. But that would have impact on this case of the chor setting the table also, right? So what would he say? Would he say you're allowed to set the table? Because I enjoy looking at it. But, well, okay, then you could say the enjoyment isn't because I'm going to eat. maybe he'd say, no, that could still be mutter. I'm enjoying, the enjoyment is a goal on its own. Cutting the cake is not a goal on its own. That's what he's saying. Ultimately, you wouldn't cut the cake if you weren't going to serve the cake. So you're ultimately being borrowed the knife so that you could serve the cake later. I'm only using the knife to cut the cake. We look at the ultimate. But maybe he would still say, but I'm not, you know, when I'm setting the table, I'm setting the table to get the hanaf setting it. Maybe that's is a tachlis of ne'asma. I'm not sure. Anyway, a kaparim seemed to me that this case of the knife should be mutter, but if you bring the Rav Shlomo Miller said it's usur. We asked for first yesterday on the shiur, and he said he could hear both tzadim. He didn't commit himself. He said he could hear both tzadim, which was a chiddush to me that he could hear the tzad of chumra. But okay, so maybe next time we'll come back a few more on this. You know, would you ask what's called the altar? A few more of those details, and then okay. Thank you.